Hi guys, hope you're well. So this week, the hot topic seems to be pitching for business. I was with a friend this week who works for a creative agency, and she was completely crazy, even working on Sunday, to deliver several pitches. One of her clients was based in Dubai, hence the working on Sunday, and she was saying, "Come on, Rach, you work for a training company. Have you got any top tips around, how we should be preparing best for pitching?" And I was like, "Of course I have." In my time at Excel, we've done a lot of pitches of varying topics and requirements. So I thought that would be a really good topic for this week's podcast. So, pitching for business, mistakes to avoid. That's what we're going to talk about this week. So let's get going. And remember, go to the website www.excel-communications.com if you want to find out more. And if we're not LinkedIn, please just go to the team page and click on my little LinkedIn logo. Be great to connect with you if we're not already. All right, let's get going. Welcome to Learn, Grow, Succeed, the Leadership Podcast, and I'm your host, Rachel Hewitt-Hall. If you want to become the extraordinary leader today's organisations need, then listen in now as we share the latest leadership insights and techniques from around the globe. So, pitching for business. Now, many of you listening to this will have attended lots of pitches of different kinds, different topics, different durations, different requirements, and it can be a bit of a quagmire out there when you're being asked to put forward your ideas, particularly when you're not necessarily sure who your competition is. So, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the mistakes to avoid when you are going into a pitch situation. Now, I think some people make the mistake that thinking as long as they present, a great product or a great service, that the client is bound to say yes. But it's just not that simple. Pitching is not just about putting a client or an internal stakeholder in a room and telling them about your product or idea, even if it is a brilliant one. Getting to yes, it's a complicated business. One with lots of subliminal factors that aren't necessarily clear to you as a provider, such as things like pre-existing loyalties for the competition. I mean, how many of us have been asked to pitch and we all know that actually we're probably there to just make up the numbers, that actually they've just got in a couple of other suppliers to pitch to go for to go through the process of procurement. So, pitching can often fail for reasons that have little to do with the actual merit of the product or service. It's usually actually the problem of delivery. So, I've put together a list of some of the big mistakes to avoid when you're in a pitch situation. So, let's start. So, number one is, the presentation is all about substance. It's not about the style. Now, I know this might sound like it's the wrong way round, and it shouldn't it be about the product's merits and not the presentation itself? And perhaps in an ideal world, you'd be able to sit in a darkened room and judge a product or service, purely on its merits. But it's far more likely that the client will be distracted and deterred by a presenter that looks nervous, doesn't know the content, doesn't know the slides, the slide deck that you might be presenting, or isn't able to kind of confidently deviate when the slides don't answer perhaps a particular question that's come up. How many of us know or remember the Moravian model? According to his research, words only count for 7% of confidence, while body language accounts for 55% and the voice 38%. So, You know, you can have the best information in the world, but if it's not delivered right, then no one's going to be convinced to emotionally buy into it. So what can we do to avoid it? Well, there really is only one simple solution, and that's practice. You know, find a willing audience and practice more and more, because the more you do practice, the more you have a go at, you know, making those mistakes, failing fast, will you really start to gather the confidence to deliver your pitch in a confident way? One of the great things, you know, that we use at Excel Communications is when we're doing presentation and pitch training is we record the participants. So recording yourself can be really powerful for you to reflect on and have a look at. And often it's a really good idea to turn the volume down and just look at your body language and how you're standing, because you can learn a lot from that. Other things you can do is to sort of get feedback from your colleagues on things that you might be doing, and how you're using, you know, your stance or your gestures perhaps. And, you know, are you giving your audience good eye contact? I mean, how many of us have been in meetings or even in training sessions, not with Excel, I might add, but in training sessions where, you know, the people on the ends tend to get left out because the presenter only tends to focus on the person in the middle, or they only tend to focus on the person who's asked the question. It's just not ideal. So, you know, use this as an opportunity to practice all of these things, and use a structure that answers, you know, the following four questions is really useful. So, why would I want to do what you're proposing? That's question number one. Question two, what are the key facts I need to know? Question number three, how will what you're proposing work? And question four, what will happen moving forwards if we do or don't buy it? So when you have a confident, clear, easygoing, you know, authoritative presentation, it's time to get the client in for the pitch and do it quickly before you lose momentum. I know that big firms like KPMG, for example, often give their pitching team a solid week to prepare before a presentation, because they understand how important the delivery is for them and their business. So it's really important to do that. And I know that something that we've been asked to do at Excel is we've done specific pitch presentation work with presentation teams, and that can work really well in terms of gathering how is best to move forwards with a pitch. You know, we've had some clients come to us where they've like got 6-7 people in a pitch team, and you have to ask yourself, can, you know, 6-7 people deliver what the client needs in a very short time slot of like 45 minutes? It's probably not that practical. There's some of the tips of how to avoid, you know, not looking confident, and some of the things to do to help you to be more confident and more positive and make a bigger impact, because people will remember you. And trust me, when you're in a pitch situation, you want to be remembered for the right things. So one of the other things that people often make mistakes is that you don't know your audience. You know, surely the product speaks for itself, surely the client, the stakeholder, will see how it applies to them. But that's not always the case. You know, now, that's the type of pitching attitude that will almost certainly fail. Now, your job in pitching new business is to structure your pitch in a way that is directly targeted at the client's individual situation. You know, a generic pitch won't make them feel like the product is uniquely suited to them. So how can you avoid this happening? Well, I know it sounds like common sense, but very few people do it, and that is research your client thoroughly. You know, put the information to good use. A winning pitch addresses what you understand is important to them. It could be market share specific changes in employees' behaviour, or any other kinds of metric. It's really important that you understand your client and what's important to them. I mean, I can't tell you the number of people who've come in to pitch for me that have started with their own creds presentation. And let's be honest, I wouldn't invite you in to pitch if I didn't think that you were good enough in the first place and I knew and understood information about you. So, you know, I don't necessarily want to hear about you. I want to know that you understand about me and my business, and I want you to prove that you're the ones that I should go with. So don't make that mistake. It's not about you, it's about the client. And the final one that's a biggie, and this can really lose you a pitch in my opinion, and that is that you don't prepare enough for questions. And generally in a pitch situation, you can get some pretty tough questions. So you could have just delivered the pitch of your life. The audience is in the palm of your hand, and then someone throws you the very question you really didn't want them to think, or even worse, the one that you just haven't thought of yourself. You know, you're not prepared, you flounder, you look like you're trying to evade the question, and trust me, you can lose a room. You know, the pitch can fail at that last hurdle, and unfortunately, it's very difficult to claw it back from that. So how can we avoid this? Well, it's a really good idea to get your colleagues to perhaps throw you some questions beforehand. Ask yourself, you know, what do you know to be the flaws in your product or service? You know, understand your competitors as well and understand some of the things that they might have that you haven't. And how can you get around some of those questions so that you can, you know, prepare the answers and some winning answers for these questions. You know, assuming you've got a great answer to any potential pitfalls, it might be a good idea to preempt these questions by working them into the presentation rather than giving the audience an opportunity to ask them. So if you preempt them and cut them off in the presentation and address them, then actually the chances of you getting those questions at the end are less, and you get even more buy-in as you go through the pitch. And acknowledging issues and addressing them honestly, you know, I think works really well, and it does build trust in the client's mind, and it does kind of burst their balloon when it comes to their objections to buying the product. So, you know, it's just not good enough to have a great product or service. You have got to sell it. And using every bit of influence and charm and intelligence that you possess. You know, remember, practice makes a perfect pitch. Practice, practice, practice. You know, get those questions preempted. And make sure that you are confident in terms of your delivery. Remember the Moravian model. Remember that, you know, it's really important that you present yourself confidently. And, you know, understand your audience. Do the research. It's really important. And these will really undoubtedly help you when you come to do your next pitch. Now, there's lots more ideas that I have that I can share with you, and there's lots more that we would cover in one of our programs that I can't cover in a short podcast like this. So if you do want to find out more, if you've got any questions, drop me a line. It's rachel.hewitt-hall@xl-communications.com. Love to hear from you. If you've got any other pitch nightmare stories or any other top tips, then drop me a line because I'd love to hear them. And look forward to next time. Take care now.